Coming up in this episode of the Superpesis Roundup podcast, we're back, and it's time to start looking at our first part of our previews for the men's and women's Superpesis, plus all the latest news and goings-on. That's all coming up on this episode of the Superpesis Roundup podcast! Hello, and welcome to episode 48 of the Superpesis Roundup podcast. I'm your host, Ian Alba, and joining me, as ever, is our resident coach and guru on all things Pesapollo. He's back from the winter break. It's Mikko Pironen. Mikko, how are you doing?
Well, at least now I can call myself a coach again, so that's something to begin with. But yeah, it's been an interesting winter, and we will go through the details of that, I'm sure.
Yeah, there's been a few news items as well. We'll touch on some of those. But of course, as you say, you know, you're coaching again at the moment, so that's fantastic news, of course, as well. But yeah, it's great to be back. Can you believe that this is our fifth season now doing this podcast?
Yeah, it's kind of wild. And I was just thinking that, like, before when you sent, like, that is episode 48. And yeah. I know that we're not doing these on a weekly basis, but still it's like the fifth season. I mean, wow, that's kind of, like, cool. And, long may it continue from my behalf.
Well, I'm always astounded when we're back for another year. I'm always astounded when I hear people who listen to the podcast or enjoy it as well. I'm looking forward to the season. It's been great to see the winter tournament in action. Of course, we've seen some changes to the rules as well. But I wanted to talk first about that tournament and how you think it's going so far, because of course we've not reached the end of it yet, but we've got a feel for how those games are playing out. We've got a feel for how the game format is going to play out, losing the Super Voro and moving straight to the scoring contest. Definitely more dynamic, and there's obviously a lot more that the teams and the game managers have got to think about in terms of how they approach that stage of the game. But Mika, what have you made of it so far?
Well, like you said, it's the game itself, yes, it's more compact. But for me, the biggest thing has been that I think that Talvi Superpesis has been, like, it has been approved and accepted quite widely. And now there's, like, whereas there have been or still are some, like, friendly games here and there, now there's at least a bit of a structure, and they're, like, competitive games, and that's always something that if you are an athlete playing on a semi-professional level, at least you want to compete, and it's an easier way to get people, like, properly motivated to play those games. And we also see, like, new young players to come to the fore. So I've been pleasantly surprised, to be honest.
I mean, it's a great opportunity for game managers to really be creative with their lineups, the resources that they have available, even, you know, inviting players to come and play as well. And yeah, it's it's been quite a good tournament so far. Sometimes the gaps feel perhaps a little long for me. Maybe it's because I'd like to see it carry on. But, you know, that's just me. So moving on then, of course, other items in the news, moving from something rather positive to something rather comical. And that's the Donnacohan and Munster case. Now, I say comical because it really is just turning into some kind of a farce where you've got Donnacohan succeeding in his claim, but then having to pay a significant sum in excess of 20,000 euros to Munster in costs. And we had a great chat about this, and an area that I deal with relatively frequently in terms of the law in my day-to-day job. So that kind of thing is interesting to me, but it really is just silly how it's all descended into this. I mean, the process is fine. I understand the process, and the legal process has been gone through properly, as much as I can see. But both sides are potentially looking to appeal as well, and it really is going beyond that comical or farcical kind of thing into something completely different. Mikko, we thought last year we'd seen it all on this, that we were really into some kind of fantasy land with allegations of spying and all sorts of things with mobile phones. What do you make of this item of news?
I think you summed it up already. And as you said, you're the expert on this particular area. And I'm just from my perspective, the thing is that now that they are appealing for sure, the one thing that worries me a bit is that will it still overshadow other stuff that is going on in the sport? Even though some might say that all publicity is good publicity, but I would not get that far. I mean, it's been dragging on for what, a year? We spoke about it like you said last year.
Yeah.
And now we're still it's an appeal process, and come on. It's like Jani Komolainen said, like I sent you the text that when they ask him that, what do you want out of this, when you're giving your testimony, he said that I don't want any money, I just want you guys to settle this so we can play. And I think that's that's it. That sums it up.
Absolutely. And at the end of the day, everybody just wants to see the sport moving forwards. I mean, of course, there are issues between these two, parties, but it just is dragging on. It's becoming just weirder and weirder. And like you say, we don't want it to be overshadowing or having some kind of an impact on this season to come. So moving on to the next item of news that I saw. Tuomas Jussila and Robo Korhonen were named Athletes of the Year for their provincial galas, respectively. Fantastic for them. Another trophy for Robo's groaning cabinet under the weight of everything he must have in there already. But yeah, it didn't surprise me. Both of those two players were fantastic last year. I mean, Robo, of course, in particular, couldn't have done anything better. If you tried to find it, you were inventing something, as far as I was concerned, because it was an almost immaculate season. There wasn't a foot put wrong. Mikko, were you pleased to see this?
Of course, yeah. And once again, to do all that at the age of 42, I have enormous respect for that guy, or both of those guys for that matter, but yeah, it just shows no signs of slowing down. Like, it's gonna be interesting to see how long Robert will keep playing on, but he still has the hunger, and he still has like all the tools, and now he can just like enjoy the game, and it shows. He's won it all, like, and now he just keeps on rolling and having fun.
Yeah, well, like you say, there's no sign of him slowing down, and bearing in mind he was and continues to break records and top the leaderboards in things, he still has a lot of that energy left. And like you say, he's just going there and playing and having fun. And who would ever want to see that end? So that's the main news items. There is one or two other things that have come up very quickly I wanted to talk about as well. We'll talk about it a little more when we come to Vimpoli's preview. But a change of game manager. Mikko, what were your initial thoughts on that?
Well, I was not surprised. All the talk coming out of Vimpeli was signing towards that. Maybe it was a bit of a surprise that it happened so early, but I think that they thought that it was not a match made in heaven, and it showed very early on. So they just made up their conclusions and decided to move forward. And without knowing all the details, I will not comment on that any further. But it's obvious that something was not clicking from the get go. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they're gonna do now.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons why, we definitely will be looking at this in a lot more detail when we come to Vimpoli's preview. Because, of course, by the time we get to them in our previews, we will know a lot more about what's going on within the team. And, of course, we'll have some idea of how the new game manager is fitting in with the team. But they're definitely something worth mentioning now. It's a big story in the news, so it would be rather odd of us to not mention it. The other thing, just very quickly to mention, is that there is a tournament coming up, a cage cricket tournament, as part of the SM Vico, which is being held in Jyväskylä this year. And Cricket Finland have organised with Jyväskylän Kiri for them to play against the Jyväskylän Cricket Club as part of a cage match, which is another example of cricket and Pesäpallo kind of linking up, which we did see previously, of course, in Joensuu when Joensuun Maila played a cage cricket match way back when in, I think it was even 2020 now. But, you know, things have moved on a lot since then in terms of cricket in Finland. We've seen a couple of World Cup qualifying tournaments as well. In fact, you joined me for a match there at Dick Gorilla. But, yeah, so it's a fantastic little a piece of news and something that I'll be watching definitely. Mikko, were you surprised when you saw that?
No, I was just happy to see that because I'm all for that, and the more the better. I would say that we just need to keep an open mind and bear in mind the fact that now that the whole demographic in Finland has changed and will change in the near future drastically. So once we get like more and more cities to play on higher levels, and we have a lot more people coming from abroad and like immigrate in Finland and like have different kinds of opportunities to play sports here. And so we need to be able to, as a sport, pesäpallo needs to be open and needs to like actively link up with other sports, like we're doing with the prime example being right now is that baseball and softball are under the umbrella of Pesäpallo Liitto. So it's like, that's one thing, but cricket is obviously worldwide. It's so immensely like big. It's just so enormous that I think it would be stupid to not make any kind of like ties that last with that sport and cricket Finland.
Well, there's an interesting point in the press release that's come out today from Cricket Finland, because they talk about the upcoming Olympics in both LA and in Brisbane after that, because cricket is a sport on the schedule for that. And, you know, there are chances for Finland to post teams for those games. And I've said this many, many times. There's a lot of similar skills within pesäpallo as there are in cricket. There's a lot of very similar kind of mindsets and tactics deep down. And Finland has some of the best throwing arms in the world. That's indisputable. So, you know, just think what kind of opportunities could lie there. Anyway, we'll move on from the news items and start our previews. This is the first part of our previews, so we'll be looking through a few teams each episode. This portion, so in the men's, we're doing the first four teams sort of alphabetically. So that's Alijärvi first. Now, this is a team who were punching above their weight coming into Superpesis last year. They proved themselves well enough to stay up. Now, of course, they were rooted at the bottom of the table, but they had that determination to stay. And in the end, of course, it was Koskenkorva that fell. But there's a couple of additional names added to the team. The most obvious one to talk about for me is Petteri Korttelainen from Koskenkorva. And he's already had an impact in the winter tournament as well. So interesting to see how they'll develop. As far as I'm concerned, this is one of those teams that it could be a bit of a make or break year. Have the younger talents they've got in that team reached their potential yet? Are we seeing them playing well enough to stay up? Mika, what's your thoughts?
You're absolutely spot on there. I mean, the second season can be anything, but I'm actually happy for the way that they're building their roster and the whole organization, that they're being like rooted to the ground and they're not going over the top with their budget, and they're just like raising and coaching young players and bringing them up like from their own ranks. And it's been like last season we saw that there is like definitely potential there, and the fact that they were able to be able to hold on, to keep hold of those players, it can be like, it won't be like a top 8 team, I would be surprised, but I would not be surprised if they can give a run for their money for a lot of teams, on the lower half of the table. I would not even be surprised if they're steering clear of relegation. Not clearly, but anyway, that they would do that. But because I would say that their most important players are nowhere near their prime yet.
And that really is something to hold on to for them, because there's that time still to develop through the season and beyond. And I interviewed Nestorio Lisicilla last year ahead of the season, and he was talking about how the club completely went back to the basics, back to the beginning, and built this club back up after their relegation a few years back. And it really shows, because it's got a steady and firm foundation to it. I mean, that's probably how I describe it. And when I watch them play, I get a sense that they believe in themselves. And that's really hard to harness a lot of the times. So even if they're in a bit of a poor situation, they still are believing in themselves. And the psychology of it sometimes is half of the battle. So yeah, I think Aliarvi have got a decent chance of staying up. They're not my prime target for relegation. I do think that they will be in the relegation conversation for most of the season, probably even to the last week. But I wouldn't be surprised if they avoid that sort of final battle. Moving on then from the team that came up now two seasons ago to the team that is just coming up, and that's Hamina. And they've made a lot of very bold signings in the off-season. We saw Joshua Rata leave the club and is now with Jonsson Myler. He was a really key part of Hamina's offense last year. But having said that, the replacements that they have are equally as impressive in terms of the names. You've got Juho Häklin and Lauri Rönkä as well. Big, important in terms of their experience, I think. And that's something that Joshua Rata didn't have. He's clearly got youth on his side, of course. But in terms of this experience and possibly that being a difference for them in the coming season, I think these were really bold moves by Hamina, and they're showing this intent. Of course, they were in a Super Pesis in 2021. They failed to retain their place and were relegated, and since then they've been knocking at the door to be promoted again. Of course, last year they made it back. These signings show me they mean business. They have this solid organization behind them in terms of the youth programs and things, but they become our newest member in Super Pesis with a men's and women's team. So there's a lot of things to juggle with that as well. For me, I probably say that the signings will give them the boost and the edge in enough games to get points here and there. They'll still be in the relegation conversations. But if they can steal more points here and there than they let slip away, then they'll start to creep out of that relegation battle. And I think that's really the key for them this year. It's trying to find a way to stay up, because once they're up, then they can start building for the future. Mikko?
I think there's there's a lot of similarities to the story. Like when you compare it to the team that was 2 years ago. And I mean that in a sense that back then they also made some really shrewd signings. And that's been their trademark, that once they get up, they actually make, like, they make good signings. And like, of course, there's like a risk attached to that, because as much as I like, for example, Lauri Rönkkö as a player, we all know that he's been through some like tough times, and in all honesty, it can be like the end result can be basically anything. I hope that it's like we see the old Lauri Rönkkö again for the whole season. And but I would say that they do have like the firepower, and if they can harness their like home advantage, like fully, like using the example of Hamina Women last year, that they can win the game, win the right game, so to say, they can be surprisingly dangerous, and like snap a point here and there. I do see them as a kind of a, you know, on-off team in a sense, but they may get some like crucial three-pointers against their main opponents at home, and that would be huge.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you look at the games in the Talvi Super tournament so far, and you split the game down the middle, Jaksa by Jaksa, you get a tale of two different teams almost. And I actually wrote an article about this for the team's website recently. Because there are reasons to be positive and cheerful about this team. It's just a question mark of how it goes, and it can be as simple as a roll of the dice. But as you say, the key thing, both for the women's last year and indeed actually the men's to a great degree as well, is that Vaali Kenttä, their home, becomes, and this is a pun very much intended, a fortress. They don't let people go from there with any points. They defend it well. I mean, of course, the women's team focused more on defense than offense compared to the men's. But when you look at the results last year, the men overperformed to a certain degree at home, and sometimes let some easy results slip away on the road. And it was that kind of difference, the tale of two teams, that we're still seeing a little bit in the winter tournament now. I'd like to think that given enough games in the summer, there will be enough opportunities to earn enough points here and there, take those opportunities. Because when I look at this lineup and I stack them up against some of the other teams I consider at the bottom, on a good day, you're looking at 3 points, no problem. On a bad day, you're looking at nothing. And it's that kind of shift. It could be anything at any given point. But as I say, it's great to see this intent, and I'm looking forward to seeing them in the regular season. Moving then to Hyvinkään Tahko. Obviously, last year was a disappointment for Tahko, and of course, we saw all of that unpleasantness with how Juha Korhonen left the team. But now we're seeing this team adjusting in more ways than one. Because, of course, without Juha Korhonen, there's a shift in playing styles there in terms of how for quite a long time now, that team has routinely been looking at their Joker setup. But also, of course, as well, we have Jarkko Pokkala as the game manager coming in to really grab hold of the reins and bring this, the potential that this team has, really to the fore. So we've seen a couple of players as well leave. Elmo Peltonen to Hamina, for example. Eero Koittinen to IPV. But really, the most interesting signing for me coming to Tako was Eero Kuosa from Joensuun Mäyrä. I think that's a really interesting signing, something to watch going forwards. Sasu Toika played okay the last couple of years, still not at the level that he was previously. Not sure if that sort of was a peak and now a solid player. But, you know, is it a championship winning signing? No, I don't think so. But I'll be interested to see how this Tako side play when the summer starts. Been some interesting games in the Talvi Super so far. And I still think they're just testing things out. They're adjusting here and there. They're seeing what works, what doesn't work. There's plenty of time for that at the moment. But it's a bit hard for me to gauge exactly where I see this team. But a playoff team, I'd say absolutely. Mika, what's your thought?
My take is quite positive on this team because I think that the fundamentals are there. Juha Korhonen has been the linchpin of the team and an icon of the team, a legend as a Tako player for more than two decades. So obviously I think that him leaving the team that wasn't maybe the classiest of moves on all accounts, but then again his role it was diminishing like a bit, and I think that they made some shrewd signings. I for one think that in addition to Kuosa, who's like coming home, he's from near Hyvinkää. Atte Kontio played on a near Italiensi level last year, and I am of the firm belief that they have the best pitcher in the league. So it's like with Apo Komolan, and that's like they're the top two. So they may have the best like infield, so to say, in all of Superpesis, and that should take them quite far actually. Like if they just can find some assistance for Juhaniemi, I think they have a lot of good like pieces in that team, and they're not a top team. I would be surprised to see them like play in finals or something like that, but I would not be surprised to see them in top four. That's like I'm not counting them like below the likes of Joensuu and Kouvola, for example. They're in the same category, in the same basket for me.
Yeah, no, I think that's right, and it's all about how those pieces are going to fit together when the season unfolds. That's really the big question at the moment. We know that Pokkala is a safe pair of hands, if I could call him that. He's an incredible game manager, and he knows this game inside and out. And he's got some very good players at his disposal here. But it's how that's all going to fit together and how the games are going to unfold that'll really be the big question. And at the moment, yeah, it's testing. You know, this is all it is in the winter. Just testing these things out, seeing how they go. Where are the limits? Where are the problems? How do we fix those before the season really starts? And yeah, like you say, there's a good deal of potential there to be in that top four. As I say, for me, the playoffs are a definite, but I'm not quite sure how that'll unfold. It's a little unknown for me at the moment. I suppose in a way it'll depend on how Gorla and Joensuu stack up as well, because it's not as clear cut as it used to be. You know, these teams are quite close to one another in terms of their overall performance levels, and that's what's making these seasons increasingly interesting to look at. The final team then in the men's that we can going to deal with in this episode is IPV, and I had a mild sense of optimism for IPV last year. But sadly, that's declining and starting to go. I'm a little worried about their overall future, and I'd say they are probably one of the teams that we'll be talking about in this relegation battle come the end of the season. Obviously, Sasu Dojka is gone to Hyvinkää. Jorna Mäkelä as well to Kitten Balon. We also see Eero Kuittonen has joined from Tahkom. But other than that, I'm not seeing sort of exciting moves forward. They have a few interesting players still, but I'm struggling to see how they're going to consistently challenge for points. First of all, against the big teams, okay, that's going to be a struggle at home or away. But when you come up against teams at the bottom, or that we'll be probably talking about at the bottom, like Alijärvi, Hamina, Seinäjoki and Jämsä, you know, those are the teams that, for me, all have an edge, whatever that might be. If I was to put them side by side, I'd say IPV is the one that'll lose out overall. Mikko, what's your thoughts?
I think you have a solid case there, but they also do have some quality players, like at their disposal, namely Mikko Kosonen, Mitri Pesonen, and I would say like some others who are like so and so that they might like actually be, they could manage playing on a like on a fringe of playoffs team, but like the whole future looks quite bleak at the moment. Like we were even talking about like not maybe going into administration, but like having to have a like a crisis meeting over like raising funds for the organization. And the one thing that speaks for them is that they are playing exactly the kind of pesäpallo that they should be playing, which is underdog. Underdog pesäpallo. So they know that, and that they're kind of playing against the odds. And when it works, they can, like, on their day, like the other day, they beat Sotkamo, for example. And it was a sign that, okay, that was not like Sotkamo's finest hour, but to take nothing away from IPV, That's the kind of a thing that they can do. I'm actually more interested in the games where they are not underdogs, because that's like, that is when they need to like grab hold of the games. And I would actually say the same about the likes of Alajärvi as well, that when you're not the underdog anymore, how do you handle that when you like, when you have to grab the game by the neck and actually like take the points, not just wait for the other team to like give you chances and so forth. So, but let's see. I think that they're just going to try to get the best out of it this season. And then we'll see if they still have those players in 2025, which is like, it's very much up in the air at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, like you say, you know, it's very interesting to see them take a victory against Sotokomo the other day. For me, I still struggle to see how that'll translate in the regular season. Well, they proved me wrong last year when I was optimistic for them. Maybe they'll prove me wrong this year. Now I'm being pessimistic. Who knows? Maybe they'll be a playoff team. I'm a little worried for them. Not just for this season, but as you say, for their survival, overall their future. And it would be a shame to see them go, everything that they've built up over the years. But we'll see how this season goes. I'm sure everybody in their minds is just focusing on this year. And as you say, the underdog mentality is something that they need to harness. But the pressure will come when they, on paper, should be the ones on top. How do they deal with that? Very interesting way of looking at it. I can empathize in a way. I always feel more nervous in cases where I think I should succeed than the cases when I'm presenting an argument I know I'm doomed to fail. You know, I'm quite happy to rattle that off. But yeah, the cases I think I'm going to succeed, I think, oh gosh, I don't want to mess it up now. but there we are. So we'll take a short break now, and when we return, we'll be talking about our women's previews for the coming season. Okay, so welcome back. We're talking previews, and much like the men's, we'll be reviewing a few teams each episode. In this episode, we're going to do it reverse alphabetically, so we don't end up with the same cities or towns being discussed every week. So the first team I wanted to talk about was Seinäjoen Maalaisjoukkue, who had an incredible season last year. Probably the big success story for me that I saw last year was the coming to the fore for this team. They finished third in the regular season, which was fantastic. Where do we see them going this season? Are they ready to start challenging for a championship? Is there still a gap between them and those top teams? Not a lot of movement in terms of players, but Mika, what's your analysis so far on this Maalaisjoukkue team?
Well, now they are in a situation where, like, the project from say for the past 3 years, it's been going on and it's been progressing, and it has been like I would say that it has been a success. that they've been going on, like closer to the top. But like you said, last season, a lot of the players, they took the next step and they moved like closer to the top. And like a big thing for them is to get Suriala back, which is that can be, I would even say, like the for the entirety of the season, that can even be a decisive move, actually. And but yeah, it's gonna be interesting to see how ready they actually are, and if they can take that next step, which they need to take this year, then they are ready to challenge for the actual like top spots, because there's no clear-cut favorite this year. I think that a lot of teams are having new projects, new players have retired. There are teams who are looking really promising, but like, for example, namely Lapua, and some others. But yeah, I would say that they stand an excellent chance to maintain their position there. But then again, now is this is the season when they need to take that step for me, in order to keep the players like interested enough. And but yeah, like I said, it's been a good thing that they have made their way to top three in the regular season. And now it's like, I wouldn't say do or die, but it's like you need to break that duck. You need to win that semifinal series. You need to do something that makes people like stand up and like take notice. That's my take.
Yeah, it's worth remembering last year, both Lapua and Kirikteret struggled. They underperformed, as well as Maliosit overperforming a lot of people's expectations. So that created the opportunity, and they seized it, to finish third in the regular season. This year, we'll see, we are likely to see, both Lapua and Kirikteret looking to improve significantly on how they performed last year. So not only is there a pressure for Maliosit to continue performing at the level that they did last year, but also knowing that there might be stiffer competition from those other teams at the top end as well. And like you say, it really is that kind of time where if they want to make it stick, if they want to be a serious challenger for the championship, they've got to take their chances, and they may not get another opportunity, these players. So we'll see how that unfolds. I'm fairly positive for them, but hesitate about it, because, as I say, there are a few teams at the top end that you can equally see spoiling the party for them. But we'll see how that unfolds. Flipping to the other end of the table, Rohuteret has gone through a huge change. And we saw an end of this core of players who had come through the organization, who had seen them promoted. And in particular, the Höglund sisters, who have been the cornerstone, really, for the team. We also saw Dilda Palola leave, who again was also a very important piece of the puzzle for Roy Huttered. And then you look at the replacements, Petra Weistler from Tahko. You know, there's a couple of names that I recognize from lower end sort of battles previously, but nothing that incredibly excites me on paper. But I tell you what does excite me, and that's when I've seen them play in the Talvi Super, because they play like they're having fun. And it's not been like that for some time in Roihu Vuori, where you've seen the heads go down, it'd be very difficult, them not come out of games with points where they really would have hoped that they would. Mikko, do you think that there's enough of a spark there to keep them clear of relegation this year? They are definitely one of the underdog teams in my view. What do you make of them?
I think a whole lot depends on how do they start their season. What's the, like, after 4, 5, 6 games, are they still looking like the team that they're looking like now? Like, that they are having fun, as you very well put. But that, obviously, that depends on the results. And the core of the team, the star players of the team, the up-and-coming star players of the team, for that matter, they left, like, You can safely say that the core of that team was it's gone. And you get players in, you get like enthusiastic players in from Ykköspesis and Petra Väistölä, obviously from Tahko. But so it's the spectrum is like, it's quite huge for that team, because we saw last year that even with that core that they had last year and the players that they had like in their roster last year, they still lost a whole lot of games, and they were like, it was at times it was painful to watch, not gonna like deny that. But it's a new season, new game manager, new things, and they're looking energetic and enthusiastic, and I'm giving them a chance. I'm not creating a hype, but I'm just saying that was, I think your observation is spot on, that they are looking like a team that is doing all the right things at the moment. And that's a big thing.
Yeah. Well, as I say, when I saw those players depart at the end of last year, when I saw the prospect of what they look like on paper, I thought, this is going to be a really tough season for them. But these games are not played or won on paper. They're played on the field. And so far, what I've seen is really encouraging. You know, I'm really interested to see how this team develops coming the season, and if they do maintain, as you say, that positive kind of attitude to playing. I know full well that the crowd will be behind them. Fans at Roy, who always are very, very loud. So, we'll see how that unfolds. The third and final team we're going to be looking at in this preview and this episode is Pyrtua. Now, back in Superpesis for this season, recently promoted, the question I've got Is this a team that's going to stick? Because we've seen a trend. And I was going back and I lost count in the end, but it's certainly over 5 years where each of the teams that have been promoted have retained their spot when they've come up in women's Super Paces, which is, it is no easy thing to do, as we know. And, you know, the teams at the bottom can be very, very close in these recent years, but there's been something about each of them that has kept them up. I mean, Mailataret, of course, blew away a lot of expectations, and you know, they are a considerate sort of playoff team. Hamina last year took points here and there, especially at home, as we were talking before, which was unexpected for many. So the question I've really got is this Porto side, are they looking likely to stay up? I, you know, can see some of their signings, a few players from Roma, from Mailataret, but is this enough for them? Are they going to be the team that goes at the end of the season or not?
It's, from what I've seen, it's very much a work in progress for them. And I've been thinking about this, promotion and staying up after that. And I have come to the conclusion that maybe it's about, when we're not talking about, huge amounts of money that is spent on players, in women's superpaces, at least at the bottom half of the table. Once you get promoted, you normally have this kind of an energy, this kind of a spark, and you have this kind of a vision that where we want to be and where we want to go. And you play that kind of an energetic, maybe underdog game, but or just grab the games by the neck, Hamina did last year. I can say that they safely overperformed exceeded my expectations, and I was not alone there. But it, for that matter, but still, I'm just. But unfortunately, right now it looks like maybe Porto is not looking that good, but I'm not it's March. It's early March. So I'm just leaving my opinion completely open on them. And once I see more games from them, and when the season starts, and once I get to see how they actually perform against team of similar ilk, that they have close games against, that's when we see the true colors of the team, and it's not gonna be ready on day one. And it's an interesting aspect also that they do have. I think they have a really good coaching team as well, which includes Emma Kirk. So it's the speculation is already there that now that she's she's back in form and she's playing sports and maybe is she contemplating coming back and maybe playing a game? I don't know. I for me it's just pure speculation. But of course, when you have a person like that, in your coaching staff, and you're talking about that, are we gonna get relegated or not? And you have probably top five player of all time in this sport, who could very well just step up and take, like, okay, I'll be number four and I will carry this team. So, but let's just like take it down a notch and talk about the players that they have now. And but yeah, let's talk about them again when it's like when we have played 4 or 5 games, maybe.
Well, looking at their schedule coming up, their first 2 games are a nightmare on the road. Pori first, they're going to want to come out and take 3 points against Porto. No questions asked. Same with Lapua in their second game of the season. The first game it starts to get interesting will be their 3rd game of the season, and that's against Hamina. And Porto are at home as well. So that's a very interesting one to watch. When you see already their Talvisupar results, the game against Hamina was actually pretty close. Likewise with Roy Huteret. You know, it wasn't an easy game for either Hamina or Roy Huteret to win. But ultimately they did. And that's perhaps what is slightly worrying for them at this stage. And when they've played some of the bigger teams, I mean, even against Ferrer, that was a really, really tough result for them. 7-2 in the first Yaksa and then 9-2 in the second. You know, it's still no points. It doesn't matter if it's 1-0. it's no points. So it's those games they need to focus on less, and the games against the teams around them that they'll need to focus on more. And as you say, the start of the season will be very interesting to see for them as this project starts to come together more from them. Yeah, it's hard to say whether they'll stay up this season. I'd probably say that them and Roihu are my 2 candidates at the bottom at the moment. But we'll see how the season goes. So that'll just about do it for this episode of the podcast. It's great to be back, and hopefully you'll stick around with us for our next few episodes where we talk previews for the next few episodes on our men's and women's teams as well. So before we go, I want to say a big thank you, of course, to my co-host, Mikko Pirhonen.
Yeah, thanks a lot. It's honestly great to be back and chatting Betis with you. So it's like, yeah, we're officially back and episode number 50 is coming up.
it is. It's round the corner, just over the hill now. So yes, and of course, thank you from me for everybody listening. It's always a pleasure to put these podcasts together. If you've liked what you've heard, and I hope you have, then please like or subscribe to the podcast. Even leave us a comment. We would love to hear from you. You can also follow me on the blog on posts that I'll be putting up from time to time. That's superpacesroundup.wordpress.com. Or you can follow me on X, formerly known as Twitter, at superpacesr, and on Facebook as well. You'll also see me writing from time to time on Hamina's website. But from me and Mikko, we'll see you soon. That's hidden far away. Don't be afraid.